Blog Talk Radio.
Ministering the needs of everybody. And I'll tell you, folks, the anointing of God is becoming much, much, much more stronger. I have several testimonies I could testify about right now, but I won't get into them. Personal testimonies and ministry testimonies of the power of God is operating on a more higher level in a greater way. And next week we'll have somebody on here that's going to give testimony next week of one of those that had happened yesterday. It's going to give testimony of the power of God. But God is moving in ways right now, and suddenly in ways that you would least think. Well, I'll give you a short testimony right now before we really do anything. You know, this past week, I was in the house on Saturday. My wife and I were getting ready to go outside to get the mail. I looked out, and here my neighbor and his wife were out there waxing my car. And I thought, wow. Waxed my car. I never said a word to them about anything, you know, and they washed my car and waxed it. And I thought, well, praise God, you know, what they did, because nothing was said about it. And then they said about in the evening, they had lamb, and they brought us over a plate of lamb and food, which was very delicious, and we just praised the Lord for it. It was something we didn't expect. It was completely out of character, because how many times have you went out and your neighbor was doing something like that, nothing was ever said about it, they were just doing it. And I went up to the mailbox that day, and here the Lord used a person that I ministered to. People that ministered to them had sent me a love gift, so that was a blessing, unexpected. And also I talked with a family member that had a great need. In fact, it was last Sunday we prayed for her, and God moved in a mighty way and started the ball rolling there in a very complex needy situation that God moved in. It takes and took a miracle, and God's moving on that. So we just had a powerful Saturday there, what God did. And then yesterday was a powerful thing that happened, which I won't even share with you yet. This coming week, I anticipate him to be on to give that testimony. But God is moving miraculously, folks, and he doesn't just do it for one and not do it for another. If you love Jesus Christ, if you first know him, if you're loving him and are serving him, you're obedient unto him, this is your time. But God wants to meet you here tonight on this radio program. It might be something I didn't say. I don't have to say everything, because it's the anointing of God. You know, it's not just what I say, but it's the Spirit of God's presence in the midst right there that gets your body healed, gets you delivered, gives you answers, gives you peace, gives you joy. He gives you everything, you see, whether I say it or not, it's anointing. So, you see, I pray and I ask God, give me the words to say. Help me to speak these words and say what needs to be said. But I also pray that the anointing will be there to meet you where you're at, because I don't know who's on this line. I don't know what your needs are. I just know the needs of mankind, the needs of people, and the greatest need is we need Jesus Christ. But God will meet you tonight. You just expect him to meet you where you're at. Okay? Let's pray now before we get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful privilege to be on the air this evening, Father, to minister your word to the people. Father, we recognize that your word is the only truth that there is in this world. And we recognize your word will keep us above everything, will give us victory in every way, give us strength, provision, everything that we have need of in this life, Father. We know that Jesus is really all we need, because when we have Jesus, we have everything. So we just want to praise you and thank you now for this wonderful privilege to share your word. Lord, I just ask that you would just give me the words to say, anoint me, anoint this telephone, and anoint these airwaves, that those that are listening with anticipation will not be disappointed, but they will receive from you, Father. We know you're always ready there to give, Father. All we have to do is be open to receive. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, let your people receive and help them to receive from you tonight. And I take authority over all negative forces, all evil forces, and I break the power of Satan right now in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, you will leave now. You will not interfere. You will not dissuade. You will not interrupt. You will not hurt anybody tonight as they are listening to this broadcast, because you are out now in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. You have no part in this. The blood of Jesus paid the price that you must leave. And I thank you, Lord, that he is gone now, Satan is gone, and your Holy Spirit has free reign in this broadcast to do what he wants to do, Lord. It's not my program, not my show. It doesn't belong to anybody but you, Lord. It's yours. So we just give it over to you now, and we just praise you, and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And they all said, amen. First of all, the Lord's Prayer is what we're going to be ministering about tonight. And a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I know the Lord's Prayer. Well, first of all, let me tell you something about the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer, when Jesus prayed this prayer, he wasn't thinking of Western culture. It was in Hebrew meaning and translation, which would be Jewish roots. And there's a deeper meaning what you might think. I know I learned myself on this, and I've been serving the Lord since 1970. And I've learned things, believe me, through these things, and I'm learning more and more every day. In fact, the more I learn, the more I study, and the more it comes to me, the more I discover, the less I know. And the more dependent I am upon him and how great he is. It all is it's a humbling experience, how you know very little and how he is so great. And the only greatness in you is the God in you, is the Spirit of God. That's the only greatness in us. So we brag of Jesus Christ, not of ourselves. So we are nothing. Just like Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm nothing without you. But we're more than a conqueror through him. We are giants in Jesus. Because greater is he that's in you and he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4 says. Amen? Okay, I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to take our time with this here because I want to make sure you understand this, because the Bible tells us to get understanding, and all are getting, get understanding. And Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we need the knowledge of God's word and how to apply God's word that we see the results that his word promises, right? Okay, let's read the Lord's Prayer together. It's taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, starting with verse 9 through verse 13. Matthew 6:9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, that sounds simple. A lot of people can comment on that and say words about it. But what does that actually mean? Well, first of all, let's kind of start from the beginning. Before we even really pray that prayer, it all begins with our salvation, becoming born again in Jesus Christ. We believe in our heart unto righteousness, and we confess unto salvation, the Word of God says in Romans 10:9-10. We believe in our heart unto righteousness, and with our confession is made unto our salvation. And what happens, first of all, we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, make him Lord and Savior of our life. And after that transpires, we're born of the Spirit. Our spirit man is born again. But you know, we're three parts. We're spirit, we're soul, and body. We still have a soul and a body. We know what our body is without explaining it, and we know what the soul is, which is our intellect, where we make our decision, our choices, our thoughts. It all comes through that system. We make our decisions there. It's our mind. And our mind really is the filtering system of what gets into our spirit, so it's so important with our mind and, of course, our body, because they must work together in harmony. I've always thought that our body, soul, spirit, soul, and body is like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The three are one, and they operate exactly the same in the realm of what the will is, will of the Father. The will of the Father, then, of course, what the will of the Father is, Jesus did the will of the Father. And the Holy Ghost only spoke of what Jesus said and did, so it's all three in one with what they do. And our spirit man should believe something in our spirits, deep in our spirits, but our mind needs to agree with that, and we need to act it out in our body. They need to cooperate together. I can't believe something, say I believe in my spirit, then my mind thinks something else, and I do something else in my body. But they need to work in harmony, you see. So what happens with salvation, that really gets us in the door, just like if we would work in a job or a factory. You are hired at a place, you enter in, you are brought in, you enter into the job, you get a job at a certain factory. Okay, well, that's compared like we enter into the kingdom of God whenever we receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, along with that, it begins at salvation, but then there's promises that go along with that. And God has given us many, many promises in his word. Matter of fact, 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4 says that he's given everything to us in life that we have need of in this life, and also for righteousness and holiness and for our future. So everything is given to us in this salvation plan. First and most important of all, we're saved and we're going to go to heaven instead of hell. He said in John 5, 24, we're passed from death unto life. So that's the first thing we get. But now, if we were going to go to heaven right away, that would be great. We're saved. We receive Christ. We go to heaven. But Jesus knew that you and I were going to be on this earth, and we were going to have to deal with issues, needs. Sickness would try to attack our bodies. Poverty would try to attack our wallets. We'd have problems. Family problems could happen, problems with people, evil forces, you name it. In fact, I don't even have to explain it, because just being in the world, just look around you, he knew there'd be problems there, right? But you want to know something? You know, the Bible, God's Word, has an answer for every problem that you and I will run into. A matter of fact, on the cross, Jesus bore everything. Jesus bore everything that ever will come against us, and gave us victory and healing and deliverance over, and given us wisdom and given us the know-how, given us everything. When he died upon the cross, of course, he shed his blood seven times that I spoke about last week. But that was paid for everything. There's nothing else left. He did it all, and he made it possible for you and I. Okay, so it all begins with salvation. Okay, now we're going to go into the prayer a little bit. First of all, you know, the disciples asked him, he said, the disciple came to him, and he said in Luke 11, 1, he said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Well, you know, he wasn't really asking Jesus how to pray, because, you know, Jewish custom prayed three times a day. They prayed three times a day, so they knew how to pray. You basically know how to pray. Most people, if I say, do you know how to pray? Yeah, I know how to pray. I know how to pray. But do you know what the significance was to that question that the disciples said to Jesus? He observed Jesus when he prayed. He observed him when he cast devils out, healed the sick, raised the dead, made the cripples walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, all the wondrous works he did. And he recognized through prayer. So he said, Lord, I've watched what you've done, even though it's not specified here, but that was the inference there. That was the meaning of it. Teach us, Lord, how we can be effective like you are. We see things great happen through you, but it doesn't happen through us. Remember how they saw that he didn't teach like the scribe, but he taught as one with great authority? They said that about Jesus. He wasn't like a scribe, just teaching, but with great authority. And they observed this. So, Lord, teach us how to pray that we can do what you're doing. We aren't doing that, and we want to do that, Lord. So that's what they're asking him. So he said, okay. And he told him, he said, after this manner. Now, first of all, he said, our Heavenly Father, he said, hallowed be thy name. Now, that word hallowed is like to say, holy is your authority or character. You are holy. You are awesome, Lord. You are holy. Your character is holy, without blemish. You're beyond really understanding. You are so awesome. He said, pray. And he said, hallowed be thy name. When you use the name of God, you recognize that he is awesome. He is everything. You know, that is really what the word humble means in the Bible. We use in 2 Chronicles 7, 14, to tell us to humble ourselves and pray. To humble yourself and pray doesn't mean that you just fall down, oh my, I'm just, whoa man, weak man is me, I'm nothing, and all this. That is never the way you approach God. In fact, he said to come boldly before the throne. That's against what the Bible teaches. But what coming before the Lord humbly simply means that you come to him recognizing his awesomeness. Isaiah got a glimpse of his awesomeness, and he said, woe is me, a man with unclean lips. When you're in the presence of the Lord and you recognize his awesomeness, you're in a place that you just you start getting answers. He speaks to you. He shows you need to be corrected. He gives you visions. He gives you various prophetical things. He gives you all types of heavenly answers and things that you just don't hear from anywhere else. But he gives you these things, you see. He gives you all types of information that only he can give you, because you're in his presence. It's in his presence. So we need to address him and approach him as an awesome God. not just as people would talk maybe to one another, like, hi, Bill, hi, Joe. No, we approach him as an awesome God, praising him and honoring for who he is, not just because what he has given us and what he's doing for us, but because he's God. That's the greatest praise and worship we can give him, is in the time of need that we come at the place that we aren't asking for something, or we aren't seeking something or thanking for what he did, but we're just honoring him for who he is. He's God, folks. He's Father God. He's the creator of the whole universe, always was, always will be. We have to enter into that by our praise and our worship and our minds. We have to think that, you see. It's not just a little Sunday school thing where we say, oh, God does this and God does that. We have to enter into him. We have to press in. And I've found, even as I'm speaking right now, it just busts and thrills my soul as I'm speaking, that how you enter in and you feel his presence. And this is what he wants of us. He wants that. He inhabits the praise of his people, and that's a form of praise right there when you recognize him for who he really is. Okay, he says in Matthew 6:10 there, thy kingdom come. Okay, what is the kingdom of God? Well, Romans 14:17 gives us the answer. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, righteousness, peace, and joy. We're in right standing with God, righteousness, holiness of God, peace. We have that perfect peace. Jesus said, I don't come to give you peace as the world does, but peace I give to you, the world can't give to you. He gives you peace. That the peace you have, no matter what you're going through, you stand in peace. Peace that has nothing to do with your circumstances, your feelings, or anything about you. Peace. The peace the world gives you is the peace that you have when things are going good. When they go bad, you have hard times. You don't have peace. You have fear and worry and sleepless nights. But the peace God gives you is the peace that sustains anything that ever can or will come against you. And the joy is the same way, the joy of the Lord. That's being joyful, happy, at peace, and just exuberant, and a smile on your face, and a beautiful attitude, and not moved by what your circumstances in life are. You know, when you live a life like that, you're going to get your prayers answered a lot quicker. What happens is a lot of people lose joy, they lose peace, and then they're not really in faith because they're just crying out in their fleshly person, oh, I hurt, oh, I hurt. And, you know, they'll just pray like that, and they'll be praying the problem instead of the answer. And when you pray, always remember, oh, Lord, heal my back, oh, my back, my back hurts, my back. You don't do that. You say, Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. You sent your word to heal me and deliver me. I call and declare myself healed, and I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you. That's how you attack the things that come against you in your life. Because if you speak the negative words out, you're speaking words of the devil. You're speaking fear words, and the more you speak, you hear it. And fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the devil. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So you see, these things can be in reverse if you're not careful. And many people don't recognize that. Sometimes they hurt so bad, they just speak these things out, and they don't consider them. They say, yeah, I'm believing for God to do this, do that. Well, we have to keep in a mindset like that, folks. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He tells us in Romans 10:10, right? And that's how he steals from you and I, whenever we break down and give in to what we're feeling in our circumstances, you see. So you and I have to learn to get above that. Paul said he learned to be content in whatever state that he's in. That means he had the victory, no matter if he was in good circumstances, bad or indifferent or whatever it might be. So you and I need to be consistent. Consistency is what God looks for. And if we want to win others to Jesus and impress people about Jesus, if they see you and I living consistently, they're going to look and want to listen to what we have to say. But if they see us slacking like they do, when times are good, we're praising the Lord and hallelujah. Things are bad, we're crying the blues. We see, they'll say, hey, they don't have any more than I do. We tell people how powerful and mighty our Jesus is, and he is. He's every bit. He's more than we can say about him, but he's more than we ever say or are able to say. But yet, it isn't what we say, it's what we show them. Most of the people are like the old saying there that said, show me, I'm from Missouri. Well, that's what he wants you to do. Paul said, I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith by my works. We show people what we are by the way we live our life, not by how we preach or how good-looking we are or how good we are with words or the miracles that take place through us, but our fruits, We're known by our fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruits. Okay? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And these things aren't in us in the sense that we produce them ourselves. It's a Holy Ghost through us, you see. He said in the book of Romans 8:13, he said the Spirit mortifies the deeds of the flesh. So if we die to the flesh and die to self, then we'll have these things, because it's self that prevents you and I from having the joy that we're supposed to have, righteousness or peace. It's our self, because we give in to what our feelings are, our emotions. So many people, and it breaks my heart, are led by their emotions. They'll act by their emotions. And really, when you act by emotions, you're acting like a child, really, because your emotions are going to be stupid things that you'll do. Somebody does something wrong, you get mad at them. You don't speak to them. You get away from them or something like that order. You just kind of get provoked at them. And that's not the way to be, because, first of all, when you're in an attitude against somebody right there, you done cut yourself away from God right there. You done messed your prayer life up and your relationship, and there goes the peace, joy, and the righteousness, you see. Because we have to walk this walk in order to be recipients of what the promises are. There's conditions of these promises. Okay, so the kingdom of God is this. Now, that is the most important thing we can have, is the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy, because in these things are everything else, as far as materially, financially, physically, you name it. It's all in there, because we receive what we have on the outside need when we have the inside in order. That's inside these things, you see. And God works from the inside out. So you have yourself right inside and joyful and speaking that word, righteousness, peace, and joy. Then what you believe and confess in that word is going to come to pass in reality and manifest in your body if you have a need, your finances, or whatever it might be that's going to happen for you, you see. But we have to have these things set. So often we're seeking the problem or the need instead of getting ourselves hooked on to Jesus, locked into Jesus by what he wants us to do, being in that place, that secret place of the Most High, that place with God. We aren't called to make a visit once in a while to a secret place or once in a while to pray. Many people just pray when they have a need, but God wants us to pray daily. What prayer is simply talking to him. Sometimes we'll bring needs to him, and we'll ask him to strengthen us, anoint us, and help us to be better soul winners and be more effective, greater anointing in our lives, and to do more for the kingdom, our biggest prayer should be. But so often our prayer is, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that. We need to be praying more for the face of God than the hand of God. In fact, if we start praying for the face of God more, we're not going to need to pray to the hand of God that much, because doesn't he say in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to us? So we need to learn how to hook into these things, because the church world today in a lot of places, what I'm speaking about is foreign to most of them. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. It really saddens me when I'm around a lot of Christian people like that, because I say, my Lord, they're barely saved. They had Jesus in their heart, and they're going to go to heaven. But my, oh my, for where they're to live here, how good a witness are they going to be? What are they showing to Jesus? Jesus wants us to show him. He wants to show himself to you and I. Okay? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? That is a big one there, folks. A lot of people read over that, and they don't say much about it. But what is done in heaven? Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Hate, lust, evil, sin? Of course not. It's all heaven, right? It's heaven. Jesus prayed, Lord, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. It'll be a little replica of what heaven will be. We recognize it's not going to be like heaven in the fullness of it, but it's a little dim view of it, just a little bit like it speaks of us looking through the glass darkly in the book of Corinthians. It'll be an image of it. They're going to see a lot. It's going to be mighty fine looking on earth, but it's nothing compared to what heaven will be, because nothing is compared to heaven. So thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's bring that in a personal level. Let me bring it to me, okay? I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I have to speak for myself. So you need to apply this to you like I'm applying this to me. Thy will be done in Ed and earth as it is in heaven for Ed. Ed's well in heaven. Ed's prosperous in heaven. He has love. He has joy. He has peace. He's fruitful. He has everything in heaven. And I want Ed to live like that down here on earth. I want him to be the place he needs to be. Okay, well, how does Ed get there? Well, Ed gets there through the precious promises. That's why Jesus gave us all these promises, because he knew that you and I were going to be needing help, especially the more we do for Jesus and allow Jesus to work through us, the more help that we need. So therefore, he gives us all these precious promises on this earth that you and I will be able to receive what we have need of and accomplish his will be done in us on this earth as it is in heaven. You see, it isn't just a big group, like we said, if only the church body would be on earth like it is in heaven. Well, that's great. That's where I like to see it, and I know you would too. But it begins with you. It begins with me. Is God's will in heaven being fulfilled on earth with me and you? Are we fulfilling the will of God in this earth? Am I at the place I need to be in all ways, spirit, soul, and body? So we need to examine ourselves. It's the will of Jesus. And Jesus did only the will of the Father, that you and I, will of God, would be done with us while we're on earth, not just when we leave this earth. Like a lot of people say, well, boy, I'm just going through it now. It's horrible. Oh, I'm miserable. I'm sick. I'm defeated. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, get me out of this mess. That's no way to go to heaven, folks. We're supposed to go out with a shout, not with a groan and a moan. I heard a pastor say, I kind of forget how it went. He said, we're going to go out with a shout, not home with a moan. And that's true. A lot of people are going home with a moan. They say, oh, come, Jesus. I can't deal with it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Well, you know it gets rugged. I know what's going on this earth, but I'm going to tell you something. In Jesus, hey, you're going to keep going. It's not going to cause you to say, oh, Lord, get me out of this mess. Because you're going to be mighty in him. You're going to have his presence there. And let me tell you, when his presence is in and on your life and through your life, no matter what's going on in this world, it's not going to move you. It's not going to move you at all, because God is with you. And if God's for you, who can be against you? And it's not just having the knowledge of that, folks, but you feel it, for lack of a better way to explain it. You sense it. You know that presence, that fear goes. When that presence of the Holy Ghost is in you, all fear dispels from you. When God's giftings are in you, the gifts of the Spirit and everything, and I'm not teaching on that tonight. I did do a series on that just recently. But when those gifts are operating through you, you can't not believe, because it's God. It's God, you see. So you and I need to look at ourselves and say, is the will supposed to be in heaven, your will done on me in this earth like it's going to be with me in heaven? We need to be a little duplicate of what we're going to be in heaven here, you see. And if we do that, that's going to be the greatest soul-winning tool that you and I can use. He tells us in Proverbs 11:30 that he that wins souls is wise. So if you want to be wise, you win souls, but you're not going to win souls if you're living a haphazard life, a sloppy life, up one day, down the next, and crying the blues one day, and then the next day, oh, hallelujah. This thing doesn't get it, because people see that and they say, wait a minute now, this person was up one day, down the next. They don't seem to be consistent. Just how is Jesus here? Is he on one day and off the other? So you see, we need to be consistency. The word faithful, well done now, good and faithful servant, which we all want to hear, being faithful is simply being consistent, not being up once and down again, but being faithful straight across, straight through, you see. And there's no person that anybody respects more than a person that is strong and faithful and is not budged or moved by circumstances or situations. Okay? So now we know it's supposed to be like his will be done in heaven if he wants it done with us on the earth too. He wants it for the body of Christ, but starting with you and I, his will being done in your life and mine on earth as it would be in heaven. Okay, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, now that is a big one right there. That is a big one too. When you ask for your daily bread, you know what you're asking for? You're asking not just for, a lot of people say, well, money and this and that and jobs. Yes, that's part of it. But you're asking for him to give you wisdom, give you understanding, bring you connections to you, bring you opportunities to win people to Christ, bringing people to you, send you to them. Anything that he has for you to do that day, from smiling at a person on the street to healing a sick person through prayer or giving somebody some money or whatever it be, what do you want me to do this day? Give me that bread. Give me what my day is supposed to be. He has a book in heaven that has Ed's name on it. And I want Ed today to do thus and such. This will happen. That will happen. So I'm saying, all right, Lord, out of your page for this day, I want to have that page in my life, and I want to fulfill it the way you have it penned up there for me. And that's really what it is, because that's a fact. He does have things written down daily. There's books in heaven. And anyhow, he has on that page, and I want that page to be fulfilled in my life that day. Now, you might say, well, yeah, what happened though? Even though you want that page fulfilled, if you miss a day, you'll get it tomorrow. Some things you could, but there might be some things on that page that are only to be done today, and if you miss them, they're gone. So, you see, I don't want to miss them. I heard a pastor say recently that when it came to doing something daily, he'd asked a couple of times. He'd pray in the morning. That's what I do before I get out of bed. I'll pray those things. And then during the day, too, because, like he said, I don't want to take any chance of missing anything here. I don't want to miss it, right? So when you're asking for your daily bread, you're asking for everything. Maybe he'll need to correct me about something. There's corrections that I need sometimes. I need to know maybe something I need to start doing or stop doing or whatever, you see. But this way, you're not missing anything, folks. When you ask for the daily bread, you're asking for the Father to live through you what he has written down in that little piece of paper for this day for you. Tomorrow, it'd be another day, April the 4th, I believe it is. And what does he have on your page for tomorrow? Give me this day my daily bread. What you have on that page for me, from the good stuff to the things that you want me to do, maybe something you're going to give me a spanking for, something I did or something you want to show me or whatever. But I want what you have for me, Lord, because like the old TV show, Father Knows Best. And I accept that, you see. I trust him because whatever he says and does, I trust him because he knows best and it's all going to come out in the end. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, right? Okay. So make sure that you ask for your daily bread always. And that's what really brings forth the scripture I quoted a little while ago in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, where we're given exceeding and great precious promises that we can be partakers of his divine nature and escape through the corruption which is in the world through lust and every need that we can have met, you see. He's given us these things. That's all part of that, but that isn't all, you see. There's many parts of the blessings and the things in the daily bread of God that it covers everything. So you're not going to miss anything in your life when you ask for that daily bread. No, nothing at all, from witnessing to somebody to a person that's supposed to contact you or maybe you contact them. Okay, the next thing, forgive us as we have forgiven. Okay, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. This is a major one. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, right? Now, if you look in the 14th and 15th verse here in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it speaks of if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Then in the 15th verse it says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay, let's go back to the 12th verse there. And most people read that verse like this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Most people say, yes, forgive me of my sins, Lord, forgive me, because you said to pray, ask me to forgive me my sins. But they kind of leave out the second part there, as we forgive our debtors. And you know what that actually means when you look that up? That means what it says. If I have unforgiveness towards somebody and I go to God, I'm saying, Lord, forgive me as I forgive. Well, say Joe, I have something against Joe, we'll say. Okay, as I forgive Joe, forgive me, Lord, and I didn't forgive Joe, I still hold odds against him, I'm going to get the same thing back. That's sowing and reaping, right? Galatians 6:7 tells us that what a man sows, he reaps, doesn't it? Okay, it's not just in money like a lot of people just use all the time, just money, but if I'm sowing a seed of unforgiveness, I can't expect to be forgiven because he even said the verses I just read, if you don't forgive, you won't be given. In Mark 11:25 and 26, it says the very same thing. If you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a sobering thought, folks. We need to camp here a little bit because I think this is the greatest violation of the body of Christ, that they have something against one another. they have something against the pastor, they have a husband has something against the wife, the child has something against the parents something with the child, or you have something against your boss at work, or the lady in your church, you have something against her, or she has something against you. How many churches are there, people in there are at odds with one another, have an odd or an unforgiveness towards another one, or sitting there? Yet, they ask for forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord. But he said, as you forgive your debtors. So you see, there's responsibility. Give and you receive. Doesn't the word say that? Okay. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it'll be given unto you. If you don't give, it won't be given to you, will it? See, that's the law of reciprocity, or sowing or reaping right there. But we don't consider that. So many times we want forgiveness and mercy of God, but we fail to show it to others. And you all know that story in the Bible there. Remember the man that forgave? In fact, I'll just reiterate that a little bit. His master was there, and, of course, he got a hold of the guy that owed him a servant, and he wanted to make him pay. And he owed him something like $40 million plus. At least $40 million, different translations say more. So he owed him at least $40 million. We use it $40 million. Okay, he said, please have mercy on me. I can't pay you. Don't lock me up. I have a family. Don't lock me up. And he forgave him. He forgave him that $40 million, right? Okay, he walked away, and then somebody owed him some money, I think it was $40, some trifling amount. Now, keep in mind, this man was just forgiven $40 million, and somebody owed him $40, and he asked the same thing of him as he asked of his servant. But this man didn't give him that grace. He said, no. He said, lock him up until you pay. And then, of course, it got back to the one that forgave him, his master, and then, of course, he got locked back up for it. So you see, that's really a replica of how it is. You know, you and I have been forgiven so much like a state of $40 million over the years. When I look at all the things I've been forgiven of, it's mountains of things, okay? And I'm sure you'd say the same thing about yourself. But somebody does something to me, just a trifling thing, and I would get really upset, and, oh, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm mad at them. It would be just as ridiculous for me to hold on to that, after all I've been forgiven of, would it be if somebody forgave me for $40 million, if I owed $40 million, and then they owed me $40, a person I wouldn't forgive them? That would be ridiculous. I'd be so happy forgiving $40 million, I'd say, forget it. But you see, we could all say that and laugh. It would sound, wow, who wouldn't forgive? But don't we show in the spiritual that we've been forgiven much, but yet we have a hard heart to not want to forgive somebody else because they offended us, they made us mad, they ruffled our feathers? But you see, that's how ridiculous it looks to the Lord. But he said, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive. And that's something we have left out, because I've not heard many preachers preaching that. The Lord brought that to me not too terribly long ago, a while back, and I've been kind of riding on that a good bit, because I think there's a lot of people are going to be missing the rapture or walking out of that truth. I hate to say that. And you say, well, you can't judge that. Well, no, I can't, but I know by what the Bible says here. I'm going by what the Bible's saying. So if Jesus meant what he said there, neither will your Father forgive you. Hey, Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm quoting it, you see. I don't want to take a chance on it. I surely don't want to miss the rapture because I have odds against a man or a woman for something or another. So we need to make sure, when we go to the Father, forgive me as I've forgiven others, because I forgive everybody. I forgive everybody that come against me. And you need to do that tonight. If there's people that, as I speak this message, you can do it now or when we close or whatever, but you need to get that off your chest. If you have unforgiveness, you need to get that going, because nothing I can say here tonight will benefit you to get rid of that. Nothing will benefit you, because we have to have a pure heart, a clean heart, a forgiving heart. And that's a bottom foundation of everything. So we must have that forgiveness, forgiving the people. So forgive and you will be forgiven. And it's pretty easy to ask forgiveness when you forgive others, because you get in it's a flow. In other words, somebody does something, and sometimes it might be a little rough. Naturally, they do something, but, hey, not my will, but thy will, so I will forgive you, Lord. And when you forgive, it's not because you feel like it. You might feel like popping them one, but yet, because the Lord says you must forgive, an act of your free will, you do it. A little like Jesus, you know, when he was going to the cross, in Gethsemane. He was at the place there. He didn't want to go, but he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And that's what gives you and I, gave you and I the victory over that will that I taught on last week there when he swept the drops of blood. Whenever he was there agonizing, going to the cross, those drops of blood covered us. We have the ability to say, "Not my will, but your will, Father," no matter what we face. That gives us the strength and the ability through the Holy Ghost to do like he did there, you see. And we're never going to have anything excruciating like that we say, "Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine," because Jesus went through the ultimate. So need to keep that in mind. Need to keep that in mind. Okay, the next thing is temptation and evil. Now, as you read that there, and you know that would be ridiculous as it is in the King James there. It says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, when does God lead us into temptation? So you see, the King James is a translation. It's not a perfect translation. That's why you look in the Hebrew and the Greek, because God is not a tempter. You can't tempt God, and he doesn't tempt you. Lead us not into temptation. I'm not going to say, "Father, don't lead me to temptation." You don't lead me to temptation. The Lord tests us. He doesn't tempt us. He never tempts us. The devil is the tempter. God tests us, but he doesn't tempt us. So what that actually means right there, to show you another thing in there, what it's actually meaning, is don't let us fall into temptation by the enemy that will take us and draw us aside. And don't let him come against us to ruin what we're doing. In other words, protect us there in that situation, because you're not going to lead us into him. You're going to protect us. And that's really what it's saying to us. And of course, he's given us authority over the devil. He's given us power of the devil. We have authority over the spirits. So we have the authority to cast them out, to cast them down, and to say no to them, you see. And we have the authority over our will. So we have the authority over our will. We have the authority over the devil. We don't have authority over the others per se to force them into anything, because God doesn't even use that. A person's will, you can't force somebody's will. That's one thing we never do. In fact, that's called witchcraft, when I try to force somebody's will into doing something I want, you say. But when it comes to the devil, when it comes to your will, you have authority where you can say, "No, I'm going to do what the Father wants," and you can say, "Get out, devil, in the name of Jesus," and he'll go. Okay? Now, he says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Well, this is an ongoing thing, the power and the glory. And, you know, when we're in heaven, we're going to be in the power and the glory of God. We're going to be in that presence. And it won't be any effort to anything. We're going to be there. There'll be no more pain, suffering, trials, tribulations, or anything. But on this earth is where you and I are facing these obstacles. This is sort of like a proving ground to you and I. In fact, it is a proving ground. God gave us a free will to make a free choice, you see. And he's made provisions with his son, through his son, with the plan of salvation, which gives us the ability to live an abundant and fruitful life, as Jesus said in John 10:10, "I've come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly." And he's offered us all that. He's given us the offer that we cannot refuse. But I think what happens a lot of times, people see other people, and what they're reflecting as Christianity is not too appetizing to them. They're not really showing the real Jesus. It brings an impression. You know yourself, there's people out here right now, and I know you know what I'm talking about, many of you. There's things that you've done sometimes that has moved the hearts of people, and you knew it was something the Lord had you do, and it moved their hearts, it touched their hearts. This is what we're talking about here, and it's doing what the Holy Spirit leads you to do, obeying the Word, because when you obey the Word of God, you listen to the Holy Spirit and just do what he wants, and you walk in love towards people, what you do will be anointing. It's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference, you see. It will make a difference. And I'll tell you this, there's a greater anointing that's coming on God's people that are obedient now. I'm personally seeing it in a powerful way. These past couple of weeks have been special times, and it's progressively going into what God had promised, because we're the last day remnant. God's anointing his people to go forth like never before. It's a stronger anointing. What it is, it's an anointing of power, his power in us, and also an anointing for finances. They're the two major things. Plus, healings and miracles and things, and many things are happening now. I'm seeing them happen, not even saying them. Matter of fact, you won't even recognize the power of God in you all the time, the anointing through you, until somebody testifies to you what happened when you ministered to them. That's what the other day I had that happen to me, where I didn't recognize it, because it's not like you're having any great feelings all the time or goosebumps or something like that, but you're just simply flowing along. But God puts his anointing on it, and sometimes you sense it very strongly, other times that you don't. I've seen God open blind eyes, and nobody fell out under the Spirit, laid hands and ministered to them, and nothing extraordinary, and anybody thought anything magnificent happened, jumping all over the place, blind eye open. I've seen these things happen so many times, you know, and it's not in our outward gyrations all the time to get the job done. It's by the anointing. Not by power and might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. And by the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Spirit, God is setting you free tonight as the Lord prayed. Because if the Lord prayed his prayer, thy will be done in your life on earth as it is in heaven. God's will be done in your life is on this earth as it already is set up for in heaven. I want you to show me in this earth here, Jesus said. I want you to show me. I want you to demonstrate me. I want you to receive my blessings in your life. I want you to use those blessings and sow those blessings to others, that people will see my love and my goodness in mankind. He wants to show his love and goodness through you. He blesses you to be a blessing. He wants you prosperous financially, physically, mentally, in every way, anointing-wise, in every area that you can give. That you can give of what you have, because he didn't give it to you to hoard. He gave it to you to enjoy and to give back out. And that's what this is all about. So what I'm going to do tonight is I do this again. I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to think about what we talked about here. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit is going to touch you where you need touch. I don't know what you need. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit knows. And I'm going to read this very slowly, these verses that I read earlier right here, verse Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And I'm going to read them slowly. I want you just to sit back there with your eyes closed right now. I want you to forget about anything. You'll hear my voice, but you're not thinking about me. You're just hearing the words, and you're thinking about Jesus. Just see Jesus there. I want you to focus on Jesus. And I'm going to read this. I want you to focus on him and open your hearts up. In fact, turn your hands around just as I read this, because when you turn your palms up towards heaven, that's like open your hands so he can feel. He can feel you. That's receiving. I'm receiving from you, Lord. That's a sign of receiving. When you turn your hands around, you hold them in the air, that's receiving from him. I want you to do that as I read, and whatever he has for you, receive tonight. Whatever he has, I'm believing it, because I know the anointing's here to do that very thing. And you will receive. And I'm going to ask you too. You have the responsibility. The Bible says in Psalms 105:1 that we're to make known his deeds to the people. And I want you to contact the station right here. I have a website you can contact. It's on there, on my program. It's on Reaching Out Radio right there. You'll see mine and Vengeance Montel. You can contact her, because hers is there. It's recognizable, which you can mark at. It makes no difference who you're notified. Just make sure it's notified, because we want to honor the Lord with your testimonies, and we want to encourage others that they see our God is real. That's the biggest thing to testify, because the more testimonials that go forth, the greater it is, because, hey, so many times people have requests, but where the testimony is at. My God does sing. That's why this program, that's why the Lord gave me this program, God's Word in Action. It's not just God's Word. It's not just something we talk about and teach about, and, oh, we believe this, we believe that. But, hey, it really works, folks. It really works. It brings forth fruit. It's a lifestyle. It brings forth fruit and gives us the abundancy in all things and lifts us up above the clouds. Amen? Okay, are you all ready to receive right now? Amen. I am. I'm here with you, receiving myself too. Amen. Here we go. I want you to receive. Thank you, Lord. We just ask you just to move upon your people right now. Those, whatever the needs might be, as I read this here, that your anointing would just fall upon the people, as you instructed me to read this, Father. So I'm going to read it, and Lord, we just release the Holy Spirit to do his work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen, and amen, and amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We just praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just praise him and thank him for meeting you right now, whatever your need was. Whatever your yes, yes. Whatever that need is. Yes, just keep those hands up there. Just keep those hands up there. And just allow the Holy Spirit to feed you and minister to you. It's just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus, the atmosphere. The atmosphere is Jesus, you and Jesus, because he wants to do a work in your life. He wants your life to be on this earth as it would be in heaven. He wants it for you. It's his will. He desires it. He will make it happen. You just let him do it. Let him do it. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Okay. Okay, as we here, I'm going to share with you. I'm going to give you my email, and I know there's other emails you'll have to notify the broadcasting we have here, Reaching Out Radio, because it's very important that you tell what God has done in these programs, not just my program, but any program we have here, because, you know, we look at a microphone when we're speaking. We don't see any faces. We're here basically by ourselves, and we don't know what's happening or what's going on, but we only know what we hear from you all. So please, I encourage you to participate, and we didn't have any call-ins tonight. Evangelist Montel is not here this evening. But that doesn't mean that you can't contact us, because you need to really contact us. I'm going to give my number, and I know the others is down there too, and you can see it on Reaching Out Radio, where it's a little write-up below the pictures. But here's what my website is, www.tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com/ed, E-D, E-B-E-R-L-Y, Ed Eberly. That's www.tinyurl.com/Ed Eberly, E-B-E-R-L-Y, and that all goes together. That's my website. And you'll see incredible things on there. There's been some incredible experiences I've had. I just have a few of them there. I have one, how God stopped a heart attack, and literally a church building shook like it did in the book of Acts, and different things that I've experienced, miracles. I had four of them on there, I believe it is. And tremendous things are on there, and anything you need to know or want to know, and have a place you can go to. So just check that out. My book is on there, Overpowering Influence of the Truth. That's a powerful book that's touched people's lives, from healing to sleepless nights where they had insomnia and healed that. And we just, God has done so much through the book. I've had so many testimonies on it. So you can check that out and how to order that book if you would like. And my email, I'll give you that too. And like I say, it's all on the program here, but I'm going to say it because it's important that you communicate with the Reaching Out Radio and with us, that we know what's going on in your life. That's edward.eberly, the number 2, at gmail.com. That's edward.eberly, the number 2, at gmail.com. And through this, these emails or the website or whatever we can contact, we will know what's happening here. Because if you need a telephone call, you want to talk on the phone, I do that also. I have to, that's to communicate with you by email, and then I will hook up with you if you need to talk to me or something. I'm here to minister to you. I do it constantly with people all over the place. I keep busy on that. So I do say to you whatever your needs might be, because I'm on this program for one reason only. That's to bring people to Jesus Christ and see him work in and through their lives. That's what my purpose is in service, to see people saved, healed, delivered, and on fire for Jesus Christ. And this is the greatest joy in my life, what I'm doing now, preaching and teaching the word, and see the power of God working in and through my life. That's my everything right there. That's everything. That's the most important thing in my life, Jesus Christ, and then my wife and family. So this is what I know Evangelist Montel would feel the same way about the program and everything. It's what we're on this air for. So I'm going to be signing off here in a couple minutes, and I really encourage you next week to come back on, because God has given me a tremendous message next week, and I should have that testimony, as far as I know, next week from the gentleman that's going to be on. And I ask you to listen to this again, this tape, because you can do the on-demand section there. You can listen to these programs over and over. All the programs that are live are on there, and I think there's over 250 of them now. Probably about 260 or more. You can check them out, including this one. This will be the latest one, and next time somebody comes on, there'll be another program. But to listen to them over and over, and listen to what's said, and look at these scriptures, and leave the Holy Spirit minister to you about that, because He's going to tell you what to do. You say, it's a personal thing. You know, you take that word, and how is this going to apply to me? What do you want from me, Lord? And you allow these scriptures to minister to you, and God will take you where you're to be. Okay? Okay, well, listen, we love you, and I just speak God's blessings over you in the name of Jesus, and we're looking forward to ministering to you next week, and invite a listener or a friend to come on and just be expecting. I ask you that. Please come on expecting from God. Don't expect from me, but expect from God, because that's who I expect from, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And He hasn't forsaken me or failed me yet, because I expect Him to be there, and He's there. He's been there. And when you do that, that way He can do what He wants to do. Amen? Okay, we'll see you next week. I love you all. You have a good evening now. Good night.